Check the mic.
Mic check.
Now it's time to start the show. Now it's time to start the show.
Well, welcome to the Two Men Will Pack. Every week, running it back.
Beam and Web try to act like they know. Now it's time to start the show. Yo, for show. Let's go.
Welcome back to the Two-Man Wolfpack. As always, my name is Adam, coming to you from my basement in Minneapolis. Still with the new mic setup, though, so hopefully this sounds okay. And dialing in back from a European trip, back in Chicago, my good friend.
Brian,
welcome back stateside.
Thank you. It's good to be back. Good to be back home.
Yeah. No,
red, white, and blue. Just like France, though. They also have red, white, and blue.
Good point. Today is Thursday, July 20th, 2017. Our last pod, Brian, was our live draft pod, which was quite a while ago now. So apologize again for being a little delinquent getting a pod out. But luckily, that means we have a lot to talk about. So agenda is we're going to talk about Timberwolves news and notes, which includes quite a few noteworthy discussion points. We did get a few emails as well, so we'll run through those. Keep them coming, guys. TimberwolvesPodcast@gmail.com or find us on Twitter at T-Wolves Podcast. Brian, before we get into T-Wolves stuff, how's life? European vacation was good?
Yes, it was. Thank you for asking. No, there was some highlights.
I'm pretending this is the first time we've talked about it. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I heard you went on a trip. Yes, I went on a trip. It was great. We went to, we hit up a lot of Europe. So we actually went to Maine for a wedding. That was pretty cool. Have you been to Maine?
I've never been to Maine, but it looks beautiful.
Yeah. I don't think you need to go. I wouldn't be like, oh man, you got to go to Maine. It's so cool. I just like lots of lobster. Also thought the lobster was going to be really cheap there, but apparently they export a lot of lobsters to China now. So a lobster roll was still like 20 bucks.
What?
Why
even go to Maine then?
I
don't really get it. If lobster's not a discount, and you know what, Red Lobster has fresh lobster, you know,
well,
they keep them in tanks.
Lobster,
you can get fresh lobster from wherever.
Actually, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't know. I was like, we ate lobster every meal, even though it was not any cheaper. So I just spent a ton of money on lobster. But no, it's very pretty there, so I liked it. So from Maine, we went to Florence. Spent 4 days in Florence in the Tuscan countryside, which was lovely.
I love Florence. You know who else just got back from Florence in a European vacation? Shout out to my parents.
Oh, dang. Your parents were there. Good for them.
Yeah. Yeah, they just got back yesterday. Anyways, keep going.
It's pretty adventurous for your parents, no?
It was a big trip. Yeah, they did it pretty large, though. I think they had a good time.
Good. Yeah, so went to Florence, ate a ton. Saw some sights from when I studied abroad, found my old apartment, found my old school, which was cool. We were like walking down the street and I was like, God, this looks really familiar. Then we like saw an open door for a building. I'm like, oh, this feels so familiar. Walked in. It was my school. It was crazy.
Wait, you went to school there for a whole semester?
Yeah.
And you don't recall like exactly where your school was and what it was? You like
had No, it was, dude, it was like 12 years ago.
You had to walk through a door?
Yeah, like... Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm
like,
surprised
all the,
you're like, you didn't know
all
exactly
the doors look
where
the
your
same.
School was that you attended for like 4 months.
No, one, again, it was like 12 years ago and all the doors look the same and it's not labeled. Like the outside of the school isn't labeled. It's just like the school is like a unit, like a condo unit inside this old building.
Okay.
Get out of here.
I'm still very surprised.
All the buildings look the same. I like had a feeling. I was like, I think this is around the area where the school was, and we like went in, I don't know, and then we like went around the corner, went up the stairs, and I was like, holy shit, this is it.
I was in Maple Grove the other day, and just,
oh yeah, did you find your old school?
Just driving around, and all of a sudden
I
walked through this door. It was labeled Maple Grove Senior High, and I'm like, you know what, I think I went to school here.
Not the same at all, but anyway, Florence was cool. Then we went to Rome. Just shut up. Then we went to Rome for a wedding. Wedding was great. It was in Palace. That was really cool. And then after Rome, we went to Venice for a day. Venice was great. We did a gondola ride.
Oh, you did do the gondola ride. I did not do that when I was in Venice, and I kind of wish we would have.
Did you not do it because it's really expensive?
Yeah, and it just seemed a little like...
touristy?
Yeah, I don't even care about that. I don't know the right word, but it didn't look like it'd be like super fun. It just looked like a thing you do is to say you did it, but was it pretty fun?
It's cool. It was a lot of money for half an hour.
What is a half hour on a gondola run?
80 euros.
Oh man, that's a lot more than I would have guessed.
Yeah, the hourly rate's absurd. And we saw Bucket for tips, so we tipped, which I don't think we're supposed to tip.
That's why I put the bucket out.
I know, good for them. But we had a nice time. So, did gondola, went to Lake Como for a few days, relaxed, drove from there to Strasbourg, which is eastern France. So we drove through the Swiss Alps, which was terrifying because you like jackknife up these cliffs with no railing.
I don't think I could do that.
I was really scared. I was super scared at one point. I just had to like close my eyes and listen to music. So we survived. And then, yeah, and then 3 days in Strasbourg for a wedding, which was the bomb, and one night in Paris, then home. So that's Brian's travel pod.
That's a hell of a trip, though. You got to talk about it on the pod. You're not doing trips like that every month, you know?
That's true. That would be a great life.
Yeah, that would be a great life.
The only person who does that is Rick Steves and Kanye.
Yeah, or us if we get more listeners for the pod.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what the word is. There's not a word big enough for how many more listeners we need.
I mean, millions more.
We need to million tuple.
That's probably the word. But no, that's good. That's good. You had a nice vacation. You're back in the swing of things. Started a new job. You got a lot going on, Brian.
Yeah, man. Life's busy, but it's good.
That's good. I have a quick athletic
update. What's up with you? Yeah.
Yeah, I have a little athletic update for you. My marathon training is in full swing, and my long run last weekend was 15 miles. Actually felt pretty good afterwards. Definitely could have gone longer. It was my first time ever. I bought these little electrolyte tablets, which I put in my water bottle and fill up at the drinking fountain, and it really helps along the run. And I also took one of those gel packets, which has like sugar and salt and caffeine in it, and that helped a lot. So those little tools are helping me out with the long runs. I'm feeling pretty good about the marathon, actually.
Good.
Man.
It's kind of risky to go with the tablets when you've never done them before.
Well, if I just straight tried them at the day of the marathon, yeah. But the marathon's not till October, so I figure I'd try them out now and see how it goes. And I do not have a sensitive stomach, so they don't upset my stomach or anything. So I'm fine. It's getting really detailed. Should we get into some Wolves stuff?
Yeah, let's talk about Timberwolves. Good God.
All right, we have a ton to cover. The way we're going to do this is we're going to do it in chronological order. So, Brian, we did the live pod. I think we stopped that podcast maybe around pick 10 or 11, if I recall. So the Wolves had not picked yet. They ended up picking 16, which they got back in the Jimmy Butler trade. Man, my brain is not working. So, anyways, we picked Justin Patton with the pick, big man out of Creighton. Brian, you didn't seem too happy about the pick at the time. Have you changed your mind now that he has a foot injury?
No, it's unfortunate, but...
You haven't gotten more high on him since he has a foot injury?
No, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know what to make of him. I didn't know anything about him. Obviously, we only researched, like, 4 guys that we could have realistically picked at the 7th spot. So, I don't know. One of our friends who likes the Wolves seem high on him. I didn't think we needed another... big man, really. I kind of thought we needed a guard, which is why I'm surprised we didn't go that direction.
Yeah, I had similar thoughts. I'm not an NBA expert, but when you're picking mid to late first round, I'd almost pick just like an athletic wing. I feel like they maybe have a little more hit rate in terms of success than a big man. And yeah, I agree with you. But why pick a center whose upside is, I mean, it's higher than Gorgie's, but like, you know, he could turn out to be Gorgie, and it's like, what? I don't know.
We have a guy of the future who's going to play 35 minutes a game. Like, why would we spend a first-round pick, which, if things go well, will probably be the best pick we have for a long time, on a guy who plays the same position as our best player?
Yeah, it's a little strange. He is extremely raw, though. So he played 1 year in college. So he's 20, Patton is. Very raw, though. I know there are some talks in Timberwolves circles that, well, maybe this was before the foot injury. Maybe we could try to move Gorgie and give Patton those minutes. And that is a little optimistic. I think
good luck moving Gorgie.
That's tough. And B, even if Patton is healthy this season, I don't think he's going to play almost at all. I don't think we're going to see him in many games.
Even if he's healthy?
Yeah, I don't think he's quite ready to play minutes. I think he's going to be a mop-up guy. I really like over under minutes per game. 6-8 He's not going to get many minutes on a tight Thibs rotation. I mean, Thibs plays 8 guys a lot of nights, so I just don't see it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he's probably not going to play. You're right.
Yeah, probably not going to play. So yeah, whatever. But who knows, right? We talked about trying to rate these draft picks right after they're picked, and the jury's out. Maybe he'll work out just fine. Athletic big man, if he can stay healthy, there's always a spot for him.
Yeah, one thing I do think the instant draft ratings, everyone hates Markkanen.
including us. Remember how terrified we were before the Butler trade?
Yeah, I thought we were going to pick him, and it was like going to be the worst pick imaginable.
Yes. Instead, the Chicago Bulls get him.
The Bulls made the worst pick imaginable. They could have used so many guys. Like, they've needed a point guard for so bad. Why didn't they just draft Dennis Smith? Who everyone thought, not everyone, that's BS thing to say, but like a lot of people felt like he was one of the guys, you know, in that kind of second tier of talent after Ball and Fultz and, you know, depending where you have Tatum. But yeah, like why wouldn't you just pick him? Or even Donovan Mitchell might have been a little bit of a reach, but he was in the next tier there and he's looked really good. I don't know. Weird choice for the Bulls. I think the Bulls are hosed.
The Bulls are severely rebuilding all of a sudden. Speaking
of, at the cap, which is crazy. They're like not in a good spot to rebuild at all.
Oh, yeah, that's gross.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, speaking of Jimmy Butler, did you listen to his podcast with Bill Simmons this past week?
Did I?
It was great. I very much enjoyed the podcast. It made me even more excited about Jimmy Butler. He was very
did it? Open. Tell me why.
I thought he was open and forthright on the pod as much as he could be. Obviously, there's some things he couldn't say. Clearly, he's not extremely enthusiastic about Minnesota, but
yeah, he wasn't like super jazzed about coming here.
But I actually kind of like that. You know, he was just being real, and he's like, "Look, you know, we have a good squad, and I think we can make a push and." And they want me, and I think I can add a lot to the culture kind of thing. And he was respectful of Chicago, you know, had good things to say about ownership, which is nice when a departing player, you know, says good things about the former franchise. I think that speaks to their character. So I enjoyed that. He's funnier than I thought he was. I've listened to some other pods with him, but he made me crack up a few times. Yeah, it just made me pumped to have him here. Did you have a similar reaction or no?
Yeah, I like Jimmy. Jimmy seems concerned with being cool. Like, he takes himself a little seriously, but he is cool. I think he's funny. He has a good sense of humor.
He is funny. Of the players in that tier, I don't know what tier you would put him in the NBA, but he's, I think, a lot more engaging and more funny than almost all those guys, all the top players.
He was. He also doesn't know how 20 questions work, which someone, I think Wolfscast, pointed out on Twitter. Because he's like, Bill's like, what if we play 20 questions? Well, Jimmy's like, well, I could avoid answering them. You know, I could give you like a nonchalant answer. It's like, well, Jimmy, it's a yes or no game, bro.
It's classic Jimmy. Yeah. Anyways, that's, I just want to touch on the pod. I was very entertained by it. Everyone should go listen to it if you have not, and get hyped for a season of Jimmy Butler coming up. Brian, on the draft pod, we had discussed Rubio and what are we going to do with Rubio? We both sort of thought we had to keep him because we were suddenly in need of a guard, and they did not. They shipped him off to Utah for a 2018 first round pick, which is pretty heavily protected. So it's not going to turn into a great pick for us. It was essentially just giving away Rubio and having someone take his salary, and we got a little bit something in return. I was quite surprised the value for Rubio wasn't higher. Your thought, Brian?
Yeah, I agree. I didn't like the trade at all. I don't. Well, we can get into it with Teague, but evaluating this move on its own, I did not like. I felt like Rubio. So one thing I want to talk about is I feel like people saying they got a first round pick, even if it's a pick like this one's going to be, is just way too overvalued right now in the NBA. Like, I get that first round picks are super valuable because they're paid way less and it's basically like a loophole in the system, but you're not getting, like, the average return for the 20th player is not a very, for his 20th to 30th pick, is not a very good player. Like, you're happy if that guy
stays in the league. After,
well, yeah, you're
deal.
Happy if he becomes like a bench guy that has, you know, a decent career. So trading, you know, let's call him, we've done this list many times, let's just call him like a league average point guard
on a pretty favorable contract, right?
You know, it's not crazy favorable, but it's not bad.
I'd say it's probably for a league average point guard. If a league average point guard were to get signed right now, AKA Jeff Teague, the contract looks a lot bigger.
So that's another thing that's the other thing that bothered me on the same point. So I also think, like, contracts are still super effed. Like, teams are just screwing themselves. Like, just because there was a ton of money in the system last year, somehow everyone became a max guy. And now, like, okay, so here's how I've started looking at it. So the cap is $100 million, right?
Yep.
Which makes it kind of simple to look at. So let's say you've got, you know, you've got to assemble a team of some sort. So let's say you split it like $75 million for the starters, $25 million for the bench. Does that sound reasonable?
Yeah, or 80-20. But yeah, that's pretty close.
See, what bothers me now, like, if you do 80-20, which, like, sounds reasonable, but, like, you can't fill out a bench with $20 million. Like, a bench guy right now, like, pulls $10 million if they're, like, a good bench guy or, like, a decent bench guy. And then, like, you can't even fill it out with, like, minimum contracts barely. So that's ridiculous. So 75-25. So basically, like, if 75 for the starters, the average starter should make $15 million. And it's kind of the benchmark I've been using. But it seems like any average starter gets, like, more than that. And the only guys that get less than $15 million are bench guys. Like, Otto Porter is not going to be the third best player on a championship team. And he's got, like, what? Like, $25 million?
Yeah.
He got like a quarter of a team's cap. Like, what the hell is happening? Like, and I think this is a temporary blip that's going to go away. This isn't like, you know, back in our day, guys made this. It's like the percentage of cap allocated to certain players is way off. And I don't know, like, why that is. Is it just like you have to spend the money or lose your players? Like, can't you just wait another year? That's what I don't get. Like, some of these teams are making such bad moves. I just can't understand it.
So people thought the cap was going to go up a bit this year. It ended up really not. And it doesn't seem like that fact affected the contracts that were given out.
Yeah, no one changed strategies, it seemed like.
Yeah, which was interesting. So I guess that's a decent segue into Jeff Teague. You know, we're paying him, I think it comes in at $19 million a year.
Jeff Teague.
My view is Teague is an upgrade over Rubio, a very minor upgrade, though. If you were to go through the exercise we've done many times and look at point guards in the NBA, if I recall, we sort of would stop around Teague and maybe you would take Rubio, I took Teague, or it was close. He's a much different player, though, right? His skill set is very different than Ricky's, and I think that's good. And I also think Thibs needed to get his own guys in. Clearly he wasn't a Rubio fan. That was obvious from day one when he was trying to trade him last year. And to have a point guard he has confidence in, and frankly a point guard that's not going to completely mess up our spacing on the floor, I think is helpful in an upgrade. Your thoughts, Brian?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
you could
from
never...
what I've heard, Teague is a pretty bad defender, right?
Yeah, I looked into it more. The advanced metrics put him you know, below average. The anecdotal evidence, you know, going on forums and stuff, people who actually are watch Jeff Teague day in and day out claim he's about an average defender. Rubio, I would argue, is about an average defender. I know people think he's a really good defender, but I just, if you watch him in games, I don't think that's true. Just because he gets a couple steals doesn't mean he's a great defender. Offensively is where I'm excited, though, Brian. Like, I don't think you can run an elite offense with Rubio. It just can't be done. Rubio's skill set is in the open court and passing, and that's not really how the game's played, especially in the playoffs. It's played in the half court, and Rubio is a complete disaster spacing-wise. We've talked about this for years, and Jeff Teague is not. And I think that's a big upgrade.
Yeah, Jeff Teague does help with spacing.
I mean, he's not a great three-point shooter.
No, he's not. And he's not, he doesn't rack up a lot of assists.
But you can actually run a pick and roll with your point guard now.
We could run a pick and roll with Rubio. He just like wasn't going to shoot out of it.
Yeah, that's the problem. Like they would go under the pick every time, and that's kind of it makes it tough, right, to run a pick and roll.
Yeah, that's true. Rubio's more of a catch and shoot 3-point shooter.
Yeah. Whereas
I don't know. I feel like we're going to get so effing sick of Jeff Teague shooting 35%, you know, off 3-pointers off the pick and roll, like pulling up.
Yeah.
And like not being able to find the right guys because he's not that good of a passer.
I mean, I don't think the pick and roll with Teague and, you know, Towns, let's say, is going to be our go-to play, but.
Well, you're talking about we just hired him to run the pick and roll.
No, I'm just saying it's an option now. It's probably the most ran play in the half court in the NBA, and we essentially couldn't do it with Rubio as the point guard. And now it opens up the playbook. That's all I'm saying, and I like that.
I would argue that you could definitely run the pick and roll with Rubio, and we did it all the time. But
of course we did it. I'm arguing it wasn't very effective when both defenders could play off of Rubio. It kind of made the pick and roll not very effective.
All right. Okay, fair. I mean, would you rather have Teague at 19 or Rubio at 12?
It was like Rubio was making like 14, right?
Sorry, 14, you're right.
Teague at 19.
Really?
I would.
I didn't love it. I love that it was at least, you know, on the bright side. Like, listen, I think we overpaid for Teague.
We did. To be honest, when we shipped Rubio out, I was feeling pretty good that we were going to get Kyle Lowry.
I know. I really thought we were going to get Kyle Lowry.
Yeah. And Lowry would have been fun, but man, our cap situation then is even more problematic. I'm not saying Teague is better than Lowry, but it frees us up in the future to do a little bit more. Would you rather have Rubio at 14?
I don't know. I think in my head, I'm convinced, like, without looking into it and just anecdotally, like, I was pretty convinced, like, Teague is a worse defender. And again, I'm not really convinced Teague is that much better at offense. Like, he's not a great 3-point shooter. He doesn't like move the ball particularly well or get a lot of assists. So I don't really know what he's getting. He's kind of a combo guard who's tiny and like, as far as I know, doesn't really stop people. So I was like, I don't know why we'd pay more for like a relatively lateral move.
Fair enough.
So I didn't like it. The question will be about defense. If he can actually be an average defender, as you have just said, he most definitely is.
I've read accounts of him being an average defender.
Then it's fine. That's fine. But my other thing is, like, we didn't really need another guy who just is a score first guy, right? Like, we have four of those starting with Gorgie who, like, would score if he knew how.
Yes, you're right about that. Yeah, I guess we can get into that now because the other moves are more so bench guys. But obviously,
not 14 million a year for a bench guy.
Talking about Taj.
Yeah, it's a lot of money for. I hope he starts. I would actually much rather have him start with Gorgie.
I think there's a decent chance he ends up starting.
He should start.
Yeah, I actually think he should start too. Gorgie coming off the bench, I think, is a better fit. But now all of a sudden, you have a 17 million guy.
Yeah, I know.
As a bench guy.
Whatever.
So either way, it's expensive. So we'll just run through them and then we'll get into the overall team discussion. But so we signed Taj Gibson. Thibs is clearly trying to bring the whole game back together. I figured we'd be bringing in Derrick Rose as well, but apparently he's going to end up in Cleveland is the current rumor. And I don't want Derrick Rose. So I think Taj is a nice signing, a little expensive. This was still too, if you recall, Brian, we were still in the Paul Millsap sweepstakes at this point. What are your thoughts? Millsap would completely lock in our team for the next 3 years. Taj does not. Not that we're going to have a lot of cap space, but it's a much different level of signing. I'd rather have Millsap, I think. But Taj, it's an okay consolation prize. A guy who can play some D, isn't too old yet.
Taj is going to fade fast for like a defensive guy.
You think so?
Yeah, who's not like super tall and plays with hustle. But yeah, it's a 2-year deal. So relatively low risk. You know, the money comes off the books when we need to pay Wiggins and Towns. So I think that's why we did it. It doesn't really solve anything. Hopefully he teaches the young guys some stuff.
Yes. Clearly Thibs, I'm guessing, went after Taj because he knows him. He plays defense. I'm a little concerned that Thibs is kind of like me in fantasy football, where I followed it really closely like 4 years ago. So I draft all the guys who were good 4 years ago. That's just in the back of my mind. But yeah, I actually like the Taj signing, but you're right. It doesn't move the needle one way or another. And on that note, we also signed Jamal Crawford, who I've been hoping we would get for maybe 8 years now. And we finally did, probably 8 years too late.
But that's the signing that I like. Really? Because he was cheap. There's no risk.
He was cheap. I don't think he's going to move the needle much, but he certainly improves our bench. Someone who can score off the bench is really nice. He's a much older, poor man, Zach LaVine, and I'm okay with that.
Wait, Dirk Nowitzki re-signed for $5 million? What the f***?
Yeah, I think there's some promises have been made in Dallas.
Well, clearly, like, his market value is, like, at least 20.
No, he opted out. He had a player option, and he opted out, I think it was, like, $12 million or something, to sign for 5.
God, because if they're, like, their best-case scenario for them, again, they're going to be, like, the 8 seed. Like, what? So many promises have been made. Ugh.
So, you like the Crawford signing. He's 37, still playing okay, but has obviously declined pretty noticeably last season, I think. But, brings scoring off the bench, and I am just fine with that. That leaves us a few players short, Brian. It appears we still need a point guard, and we still need a couple wing guys.
I really thought we were going to sign a point guard, but I think Jamal will be our de facto point guard for bench units.
Yeah, I could see that. I think that's a good point. We could use more three-point shooting, too. I don't know if you've noticed, but we don't have the best three-point shooters right now.
No, not really. Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen there. I mean, Crawford can shoot, but yeah, there's no guy that we like. We have no shooting lineup. I don't know who it's going to be.
Yeah, it's
Belly.
We have really good scorers on the team right now, but it's sort of like a 1980s team. Like, you know, guys are going to be scoring inside the three-point line and in the paint. How good can you be in the modern NBA without a three-point-driven team?
I don't know. I think we're going to find out. If you looked at the Bulls last year, apparently going to be the 8 seed. So we'll probably be the 8 seed.
You think so?
No, I think we could be like 6 or 7 as well.
I think we could do better than the 8. I think the 8 would be a disappointment.
That's true. We did spend all our money and trade for an all-NBA player. So we can be the 6th seed.
I mean, the Clippers are going to be worse. The Jazz are going to be significantly worse. The Grizz are going to be worse. The Nuggets are going to be better.
I don't think the Jazz will be that much worse. I'd be surprised if the Jazz didn't make the playoffs.
Really? They lost their best player. Second best player, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah, like, I don't know, man. Gobert makes a huge difference. If you look at his defensive numbers...
Oh, he's a complete beast. Yeah, I know.
Like, yeah, it's hard for teams to score in the paint whenever he plays. So he makes a huge difference. So that's why, like, I think he probably matters more to their wins than the other guy.
I feel like we're better than the Jazz now. You don't think so?
Yeah, I think we're better, but I think they're still, like, a playoff team.
Okay. Well, in any case, it's going to be really disappointing if we don't make the playoffs this year. I think we will. And sort of higher level question, Brian. Do you like the direction we went this offseason in terms of we cashed in some of our chips, some of our future potential to be better right now? Do you like the degree to which we did that?
And, so,
do you like the timing?
Okay, so a couple things. So if we're going to do, if the NBA now is what, titles or tank? You know, I think what, so basically our goal is to win a title, right? Like, you don't think our goal is to be the four seed, or do you think our goal is to be the four seed?
It's honestly, it's a little hard to tell, but I think our goal should be to win a title.
Yeah, I think it should be too, but I think I agree with you that, like, it seems like our goal is to be the four seed right now.
Is that awful, though? Let's talk about that. Like, you know, you're the four seed. You have a shot.
I mean, okay. So for us, no, it's amazing. When, like, people complain about the Hawks, like, oh, the Hawks are always in the four seed and they always make it to the second round. Like, for us, that's amazing.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
Like, but we're the team who hasn't been to the playoffs in 14 years. And, like, we've already had one rebuild, like, peak at the nine seed. So, yeah, I think we take the four seed.
Yeah, and again, the four seed has a shot. I mean, we're not going to beat the Warriors, but if the Warriors have an injury or two, all of a sudden now we're looking, can we beat the Spurs? Can we beat the Rockets? You know, that's a little more doable, I think, than Golden State. So I'm really torn on this question, Brian. I'm really sick of us being so bad year after year. You know, when we made these moves and cashed in some of our future, I actually got excited and was pretty happy. And when I think about it, I'm not sure how much of our future we really cashed in. You know, Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine. I mean, you know, we still have Wiggins, still have Towns. We still have Tyus. That was a joke. But yeah, I don't know. I'm torn. I guess overall, I'm okay with it. I respect Thibs for making moves and trying to put together the team he wants. Last year, he clearly did not do that. And, you know, if he's going to be here and he's going to be the guy, I respect the moves. I can disagree with some of them, but on the whole, I think he did a pretty nice job here.
Yeah, so I'm a bit mixed. So the question of, like, all right, so what needs to happen for us to win a title? If that's the goal, right? Because clearly this is not a title team as constructed. And I think what's weird is everyone in the league kind of agrees that the Warriors are going to win, like, the next, like, three titles. Basically until, like, it won't even be up for debate until Klay becomes a free agent and potentially, like, leaves. If he stays and they, you know, pay all the money for the tax, then...
Yeah, what's sick is Klay could leave and they'd still be the title favorite.
Yeah, by, like, quite a bit.
Yeah.
Anyways, where was I going with that? So, like, okay, so if we want to say this potentially title team in, like, 3 years, what has to happen? Wiggins has to become at least an average defender and a little bit better three-point shooter. Towns needs to become an average defender. These guys don't even have to become, like, great defenders, but, like, I think if they get to average, which seems possible, and more likely now that they have guys to learn from and guys to push them, you know, maybe become a title team, but then, like, it's not going to happen with, like, Jeff Teague and Taj Gibson and even Gorgie on our team. Like, we have to get rid of Gorgie somehow. We need, like, we need proper guards. We don't have any guards. Like, Wiggins isn't a guard.
What if the front office thought is, yeah, no one's beaten Golden State the next 3 years. Let's get the team better so we're in the playoffs. And we'll make the real push in 3 years or 4 years. Because we're still going to have Wiggins. We're still going to have Towns. We won't have any of these guys we acquired in the offseason this year. So at that point, we'll have sort of an opportunity to do this again, right?
Yeah, but it's going to be tougher.
Yeah, you're right. Because salary-wise, we're then paying the max to Wiggins and Towns.
Yeah, we're gonna have to pay the max to Wiggins and Towns, so that'll be like, see, that's the other thing that I don't get. Like, it's just like we have to pay them the max. Okay, that's $70 million of our $100 million. Like, Wiggins probably shouldn't be a max guy. Like, Towns should be, but like this whole you have to have like two max guys and like maybe a third. Like, it doesn't even make sense anymore. It's, I don't know. It just really bothers me what's happened to contracts, and now like we already can't compete.
Did you see that news on Wiggins on that front?
No, what was it?
We are very close to extending him 5 years, $148 million, which it's speculated if he makes an all-star team this year or his defensive player of the year, that would go up about to 5 years, $170
million. $34 million a year for Andrew Wiggins?
That's correct.
It's a little too much.
What? I mean, what else do you do? You let him leave for nothing, and like, you're way worse off then.
What's his market value? Like, who's gonna pay him near that? Like, who wants to pay Andrew Wiggins $30 million a year? Like,
the 76ers?
No, I don't think they do. They have Fultz. They have other guys. Like, they don't need to overpay Wiggins.
Their team's so cheap. They overpaid Redick. Didn't they give Redick like $24 million?
Yeah, but it's only 1 year, so it's fine.
Yeah. So, what would you do?
I don't know.
So, you let him become restricted and match any qualifying offer?
Yeah. Like, why do we have to pay Wiggins that much? Like, Wiggins isn't even like, I think he has,
you're paying for his potential. Like,
he's like negative net. He has like a negative net rating, I think. Like, he just doesn't help the team. He doesn't give you wins.
He's 22, right?
Yeah.
You're paying him because he has the potential to be great. And I think
He's had 3 years, man. Like, I don't think he's going to, like we said, he has to become an average defender, but like, I don't think he's going to, what's weird is like, he could have done it by now.
I don't know. Like, how many great 21-year-olds are there in the NBA or 20-year-olds? That doesn't really happen. I think you're being a little hard on him.
Yeah, maybe. It's fine. We'll just pay him all the money.
I just don't see another way. You can let him become restricted and match, but I don't think we're going to save much money that way. There's going to be a team out there that gives him a max or near max offer.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know, man. Super weird. I just don't think our team is going to be that good long term. Like, how I feel after the summer, sorry, to answer your question, I feel like we kind of shot our bullet from this rebuild, and like, we're going to peak at like a 4 seed. Like, we're not going to be a title contender.
So let's dig again into that. Really, the future we sacrificed was Chris Dunn, Markkanen, and Zach LaVine, right? So Chris Dunn, whatever, he's probably not going to be great. LaVine, pretty good scorer, but a little bit of empty calories. And Markkanen is going to be awful. So, I mean,
it didn't have to be Markkanen.
That's true.
Could have been Dennis Smith. It could have been Donovan Mitchell. It could have been the French dude. Okay. So like, yeah, we gave those up. So by the way, I liked the Butler deal. I thought that was a good deal on its own. And the fact we got 16 back was great. You know, I was happy with it before we even got 16 back. So I liked the Butler deal. I think I just didn't like the subsequent deals. Like, I thought we could have gotten more for Rubio. I thought, like, basically a salary dump for Rubio was a really weird call. I don't think like, Teague is especially good or makes us much better. And I just, like, Taj Gibson, like, doesn't really get us anything.
Well, Taj is he's a bench guy, borderline starter guy. Taj is better than, I think he's a better fit than Gorgie in the starting lineup. So it gets us something. Crawford off the bench is kind of nice. I do think our offense is going to be better with Teague. Yeah, I know what you're saying, and I struggle with it. It's just, I'm not convinced that if we didn't make any of these deals, we have this young core with the potential to win a title one day. I just think our young core wasn't/isn't good enough for that. So we're going to have to make some moves to augment it. And you know, Jimmy Butler's probably not still going to be around when we finally can make that push. Hopefully we do. But to get a top 15 NBA player, I would do that. And he's defensive-minded. He's intense. Hopefully it rubs off on the guys. I like Teague more than Rubio. I haven't been a Rubio fan. And Taj and Crawford, whatever. Would have you been more or less happy if we added Millsap instead of Taj and Crawford?
Oh, Millsap, for sure.
Okay, even at $30 million a
year? For 3 years, yeah. I would have rather kept Rubio. I don't know if this was an option. It probably wasn't. But, like, I would have rather kept Rubio, and then instead of spending the extra money on Teague and Gibson and Crawford, I would have tried to spend the $30 million on Millsap. Because I think that team could have actually competed. Like, Butler, Millsap, Wiggins, Towns, and Rubio. That's a team.
Yeah, that is a pretty cool team.
Yeah, but now it's like, you know, instead of Millsap, it's Taj Gibson, and instead of Rubio, it's Teague, which I don't know, man. I just, like, yes, I don't think those guys are going to become title contenders, especially as structured. I do think LaVine will continue to get better. I think he's going to average over 25 a game at least 1 year in Chicago. Do you think that's reasonable?
He could get close to that number, I think. It doesn't mean he's great, though, right? It just means he's on a bad team and he's getting some volume. I mean, what Wiggins...
I agree.
Wiggins averaged, what, 23 or something for us last year? So, yeah, I think he could near 25. Over under, I'd say 23 probably, but he could hit 25, obviously.
Yeah. Okay.
So, those are the moves since the last pod. A lot to talk about. Brian, should we get in some mailbag?
Let's do it.
You've got mail.
All right. Keep the emails coming, guys. TimWolvesPodcast@gmail.com or find us on Twitter @TWolvesPodcast. First email is from Alec. Alec, thank you for the email. Appreciate it. He said, hey, guys, great draft pod. It was great to listen to live reaction to the Jimmy trade. Also, the sound quality was 100. It really makes a big difference. Thanks, Alec. Would you guys rather have the Wolves be big spenders in free agency this year for someone like Ibaka or Millsap, or sign some cheaper guys to fill out the roster and assess what the new core needs after playing out the year? This was written to us about 4 weeks ago. So obviously, Alec, you have the answer. I think, Brian, we've touched on our thoughts. It sounds like you more so wanted us to maybe make a big free agent splash, and maybe I'm a little more okay filling out
the roster. Yeah, one guy instead of three, like... It doesn't make us a lot better to get, like, more mediocre guys, you know?
Yeah. No, that's true. I hear you. Next email is from Jamie. Jamie, thank you for the email. As always, he said, hey, guys, love listening to you guys. Find out about the trade live. Great stuff. I recommend this excellent article by Britt Robson of MN Post talking about Jimmy Butler and why he is such a good fit for the Wolves. Jamie, thanks for sending the article. I did give it a read. I don't know if you had a chance to read that, Brian. But it, I mean, it's really not a big surprise. It basically just says Jimmy's a perfect fit on the team.
Yeah, I've not read it, but I like that conclusion. That sounds nice.
He goes on to say, finally, Adam, can you please sort out your mic? The volume goes up and down as you speak when you drive. I nearly crashed earlier. You don't want to be responsible for a road accident, do you? No, I do not, Jamie. And honestly, I'm not sure how to fix if there's severe volume fluctuations. Some of that's supposed to be fixed by the software we use. And then John, our producer, also, I think, probably smooths out some of those spikes. So I guess we're trying, but we're a little bit limited by Skype and our setup. If it becomes a severe problem, I'll look into it a little more in depth and see if we can figure it out. He goes on to say, thanks for entertaining. As always, here's to our Jimmy Butler-shaped future. Regards, Jamie. P.S. If you fancy discussing this, I'd be interested to hear your thoughts. If Rubio averages 10 points and does his usually elite level playmaking and almost elite defense, is that not more than sufficient given the other talent that we have? And this was before the Rubio trade. Brian, would have you been okay with another, let's say not last season, but 2 seasons ago, Rubio on the team versus us having Teague?
Wait, what do you mean 2 seasons ago?
because last season was his best season ever, and I'm not sure he's going to replicate that, so I'm not going to assume he's going to have that season again. So maybe more of a career average season versus a career average Jeff Teague season.
Yeah. If it was more of an average Rubio season, I'd feel way better about Teague. But he looks so good. He did, right, in the back half?
Yeah, he did. He did a lot of good things last year. His weaknesses are still there, though, and I'm ready for a little fresh start at point guard, so I'm good. I'm good with Teague.
Okay.
Last email is from Paul. Paul, my brother, thank you for emailing in. Paul says, we can have lots of debate about who's the best player, but as you guys are a couple of business majors, you know that value can be tracked with how much something is worth per unit of time. Jordan Hill was healthy all year and got paid $4 million for 47 minutes of playing time. That's right. We paid Jordan Hill $85,106 per minute to be part of our 31-win entourage. Has any healthy player in any sport other than a buyout ever got paid more for each and every minute of effort? I mean, it's equivalent to paying LeBron James about $14 billion a year to come close to paying him the going rate for Jordan Hill. And this assumes LeBron would play for free in the playoffs. Would the Wolves ever value anyone this much ever again? And Paul followed up with a picture of the Star Tribune. So the Wolves waived Jordan Hill, and they wrote an article about it. And the picture they used of him was him in a Lakers uniform. Which is quite funny. Yeah, Jordan Hill, first of all, great email, Paul. Second of all, Jordan Hill didn't contribute much last year. I'm not really sure why we signed him.
I actually liked the signing at the time. I think Hill's a fine cheap player, but good for him, man. He probably got a little bit overpaid.
$85,000 per minute. That's pretty good hourly rate. Those are all the emails, Brian. Anything on the Twitterverse?
When did we pod last? Oh yeah, for sure. Okay, from Mike. Mike says, question: is Teague still in the top half of point guards? An all-star 2 years ago. Are you guys? Oh, he said this was a comment. Teague is in the top half of point guards. An all-star 2 years ago. Are you guys finally happy with their point guard situation? I think the summary there is I am not thrilled. You're probably a lot happier, but I can live with it.
That's a good summary. Yes, I would agree with that.
And his second tweet said, do we finally have a proactive front office? And how far can this team go?
Honestly, I think the best case scenario for this team is probably the second round of the playoffs this year. And yeah, we do have a proactive front office. I think Thibs and Layden are making the team into what they want. I'm sure we'll have, like I said, disagreements with their vision, but I respect them for making moves because I know, Brian, we had a little fear that they were slow to pull the trigger, maybe a little hesitant to make moves, and that's no longer the case and no longer a fear.
For sure. The other thing I want to talk about, this is posted by Wolvescast, is Adrian Payne's flyer for his celebrity game in Dayton, Ohio. So the event is brought to you by Adrian Payne and his son Amari. So the middle, basically like the whole front middle is a picture of like a baby. It's a very cute baby, in a bandana, and I assume that's Amari. Then it's a picture of Adrian Payne in an Atlanta jersey, picture of Adrian Payne in a Timberwolves jersey, a picture of him in a Spartans jersey, and apparently there's no other celebrities because it just has a picture of a guy in a suit. It says DJ Marcus Graham. And then his picture of a woman says Chloe on the mic.
Where is the celebrity game?
It's at Belmont High School in Dayton, Ohio.
Oh, I was hoping it was going to be local.
No, that would be amazing to go to. But no, he's not a celebrity here.
That's pretty incredible. I'm really curious to see who actually comes.
Yeah, like what celebrities?
Yeah, yeah.
It's definitely just Adrian Payne. It'd be funny if he took a panorama, like he had someone take a panorama and he like ran around three times to get into the panorama three times.
That'd be so great.
Yeah, that would be awesome. One other thing I want to know from social media. It's getting late.
I know, we're so old. It's for everyone listening, it's 10:10 p.m. right now, and we're just exhausted.
Whatever, bro. Got responsibilities. One thing I want to point out, it seems like Kat is always in the gym, but based on Snapchat, it doesn't seem like Wiggins is always in the gym, and I don't like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of our fear of Wiggins the whole time, is that does he have that drive, that killer instinct? I think pretty clearly he doesn't. And, you know, if you're Wiggins and he's pretty famous, he's getting paid literally the maximum possible amount, and he doesn't really play defense, it makes you wonder what sort of incentive does he have if he doesn't have that drive in his personality to try harder on that end of the floor. It's a little worrisome.
Yeah, and it's defense is frustrating because it's the one that's it's effort. It's like, yeah, just try harder, just pay attention, stay with your man, talk to your teammates about rotating, and like that's that. And he either like can't get it or chooses not to. So anyway, a little frustrating. But yeah, I figure I'd see more snaps of him like in the gym, but it's always him and his dog. And I'm sure he's working out. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm sure he's just not snapping that, but I don't know. You'd think he'd want to care more about his perception, but he seems not to. Anyways, I just want like snaps of Wiggins in the gym. Like, he's either playing with his dog or traveling or with his friends or in the club. But yeah, I just I want to see him put in the work.
I think that's fair. Fair enough.
Okay, I'm good.
All right. Well, keep the emails coming, guys. TimberwolvesPodcast@gmail.com and the tweets coming at TWolvesPodcast. We're still doing this, and love doing it, and we're going to continue doing it. And Brian, it's going to be a really fun season. This will be our fifth Timberwolves season, I think, doing the pod, and there's been some bad ones.
I think it's our sixth.
Wow, is it really our sixth?
If not seventh, yeah.
Wow, that's actually pretty amazing.
No, our sixth, yeah, because we started a year before I left, and I've been gone for 4 years.
You're right. Wow. Yeah, this will be our sixth year. I'm actually staring at I have a 2013 signed poster of the entire team on my wall in my basement. And guess how many Timberwolves are still on the team from that roster, Brian?
Zero.
You're correct. Rubio's the last one, him and Peck, and they're gone.
Aww. Sad.
It's a lot of turnover.
Wait, who's the longest tenured Wolf now? Wiggins? No, Corgi.
Corgi.
Because Shabazz is gone.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. How do you feel about Shabazz being gone?
That's right. We forgot to talk about... Well, he didn't sign somewhere else, did he?
No. Isn't that sad? Like, he's not a bad player.
Well, he's... My point is, he's not necessarily gone. We renounced our rights, so he's unrestricted. But I think there's a decent chance we actually sign him and bring him back.
Yeah. At what price? Like $4 million a year, $5 million a year?
Yeah, I'd probably be in that realm for like a 1 or 2 year deal. I'd actually be fine if he's gone though. I seems like a cool guy, high energy, but man, he is such a black hole, offensively, and little hit or miss from three. If he could like get a little better, beyond the arc in spots besides the corner, he'd have some value, I think, but that's just not his game.
Yeah.
Like, we can't have Bozzi posting up four times a game, right, with our roster. It makes no sense. Such a bad possession.
Yeah, I think he should be gone. And I feel good about that. Like, even getting him, you know me, I like a value. Like, getting him at a value sounds good, but you're right. I just we can't have him there. Like, he's going to find a way to get the ball and, like, be bad at defense and not help. So, yeah, let's get rid of him. I mean, it'd be nice to see him in a situation where someone could take advantage of his skill set. You know, again, you can hide him when there's good defenders on the floor. You can't hide him when he's one of, you know, four bad defenders.
That's true. He could actually do pretty well, I think, on a bad team. He could put up numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. Or a good team.
No, probably not on a good team.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think he has any role at all on a good team. He just wouldn't get any minutes. I don't think he's good enough.
Okay.
Yeah, anyways, my point is, this is going to be an exciting season. This is easily the best roster we've had in the 6 years we've been doing this. And, you know, who knows if we top out at a title or not a few years from now, but the journey has become a little bit more fun, and I'm looking forward to that, Brian.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, thanks everyone for listening. We appreciate it as always, including the international listeners, and we'll talk to everyone soon. Bye.
Bye, international listeners.